of the Proverbs, just one verse, and we'd like to deal with it and share a few thoughts with you and trust that it'll be appropriate for the occasion as well as for the day. I was just wondering, choir, you look like you're long overdue for a name on your choir. You always call it the youth choir, and a lot of the youth are getting up in years now. And maybe you need to call it Shiloh Choir. I said that to Frankie the other day. He said, "No, Papa, not again." Naming something else, of course. He said, "Not again, Papa." No, I'm only really kidding there. Although Shiloh is a beautiful name. Remember, it has to do with the Lord Jesus. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be until Shiloh come. In reference to the Lord Jesus himself. And Shiloh in that day meant a person of peace or rest. So it has a beautiful meaning. One day I was calling my boat Shiloh 1, or calling Shiloh Base from Shiloh 1. Somebody in Bluff said, "Who is that got a boat named God?" Well, I'm glad at least he knew something about the name Shiloh, you know. Beautiful name. A lot of people wonder why, you know, I even mentioned, I called the broadcast, Shiloh Gospel Broadcast. I couldn't think of a name because there were so many of them. And that's why I named it that. So when you hear Shiloh, if you're not aware of it, at least that's the meaning of the name, okay? All right, Proverbs 30 and verse 19. Well, let's look at verse 18 for the connection. "There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four, which I know not. Number one, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid." Tremendous messages in those four things that the writer of this particular proverb had in mind. Let's take number one, the way of an eagle in the air. Whenever you think of an eagle, you know it's not just a gigantic bird, but it's also a strong bird, bird of strength. And but the main thing the eagle is noted for is that it's a bird of vision. Its sight is tremendous. It is said, how exact it is, I really have no way of saying, but they say that an eagle could see a mouse almost a mile away, mile high, or nearly a mile high, looking down on the ground, can see a mouse and plummet to the earth, and in no time have that creature. The eagle is known for its vision. And so the writer is saying that the way of an eagle in the air. Now let's sort of apply it. Well, you're not an eagle, surely. I know that. And we're not trying to be funny now, but want to apply at least the characteristic of the eagle. It is a bird of vision. Now we've got verses such as, where there's no vision, the people, what? Perish. So every Christian should have spiritual vision. We should have vision to the point that we see our neighbors, we see our friends that are not saved. We want to see them one for the Lord. And so there should be some compassion, some vision for them. Then it's a vision for the work of God, missionary enterprise, a missionary endeavor that you're involved here at the church. Missions is an important part of one's ministry, one's life. And it is a very sad thing to have a church without a missionary vision. That is, you can see things with spiritual insight. And you lift your sights and you look beyond Spanish Wells. And you look to the fields afar. And you're burdened about the missionaries in other lands. I don't know if you get your missionary manual. we have ours. And I'm sure the assembly, they have some that come here. They could have it mailed to you. And so every morning be nice with your devotions. Take one of the countries and pray for the missionaries. And we're so happy to have Brother Marty back with us tonight. Brother Marty just had an operation. His country is in turmoil, the country where he labors. And we always remember Marty. We don't wait for once a month when we come to Venezuela or that area, but we pray for him all the time because he's from our homeland. And we should have the insight, we should have the burden and the vision to pray for these dear servants of God. and these missionaries. Vision, very important. If you have no goal or no vision, and then, of course, your life doesn't have much meaning. So lift your sights. Look beyond our little island, blessed though it may be, and it has been, and it is a blessed little island. Believe me, it is. More so per square yard, perhaps, than any island in the world. I say that, because I know I'm saying quite a mouthful, but that's the way I feel, that this little island is perhaps blessed more than any place that I know of in the world. And I'm not just thinking of material blessing, I'm thinking of many other features. I'm thinking of an island where you have at least 60% of the people that go to church. I may be wrong there, but I think I'm pretty near correct in saying that. You've got an island that has a large percentage, 50%, that profess to be born again, maybe more. I'm being very low in my estimation. Where do you have a country or an island where that is so? We have an island and a place where we could come, open doors, without being persecuted, without being molested, without having anybody come with guns and to really shoot you or come in with a suicidal a bombing and destroy you in your church. You've never had that, and pray God you never will. We're blessed. Do I hear an amen? Oh, thank you, thank you. Yes, so then, be a people of what? Vision. What's the eagle noted for? Help me, young people. The eagle is noted for its, come on, vision. Let me hear you. And so too, we are to be a people like that. Now, secondly, we come to the way of a serpent upon a rock. And the writer must have had in mind something else. A serpent is a subtle creature. He is a creature that's cunning. He's crafty. And he's a picture of the devil. And Satan appeared to Eve, remember, in the garden as a serpent. And sad to say, she gave in to the serpent and she disobeyed the word of God. And her husband also disobeyed the word of God, and they plunged the whole universe under the curse of sin. That is the reason why we do the things we do not want to do. And sometimes we find it difficult, and God gives us the strength and the power to overcome even temptation. True, but sometimes our thought life, we get contaminated. Those thoughts pop up in your mind. That unkind word, there are many things that the flesh just seems to manifest itself. And before you know it, you sin. Not because you want to, but because of the curse of sin that you and I were born in and under. Because one day our foreparents sinned and plunged the whole human race under the curse of sin. Aren't you glad that one of these days we're going to be delivered or rid of these bodies and we're going to get our glorified bodies? If you're a believer, liken unto his glorious body. But if you're not a believer, you're going to be left behind and you're going to be put on the earth and you're going to wait, all right, until you get another immortal frame, whatever it is, only to be subjected to the fiery fires of an eternal hell. Very serious and very sad. Back to the serpent. Even though he is cunning, we need not always give in to him. He goes about like a roaring lion. I'd liken to this creature, this person, part of the verse, as a serpent of vice. How many young people need to be very careful here? No people do. No one's accepted or exempt from this. Vice. We have the world filled with vice. I was saddened last night listening to the news. And that's what made me think of this verse very strongly, because when the Supreme Court of the United States of America did not come down hard on the child pornography that we have on the Internet the way they should have, said that we're infringing on the right. They were afraid that they might be infringing on the rights of people and freedom. Can you imagine that? Child pornography. Not only child pornography, but this is the thing that really grieves me. What they were battling in the Supreme Court is how young can an adult, an old man, 30, 40-year-old man, have an affair. I want to speak very blunt tonight because young people will not be embarrassed, neither will they blush because they know what I'm talking about. We're faced with reality. This world is a cruel world. Want to lower the age, the legal age. Question was asked, you mean an 11-year-old girl that a 40-year-old man could go with? Now, I'm putting it blunt. And that's what they're aiming for. You know why? Because they've got an awful, awful, sinful part of their very makeup. That is the reason why the Roman Catholic Church right now, you've listened to the news, don't you? How many priests have been found out to be involved with children? I mean, it's really sad and shocking when you think of it. We've got to face reality. It's on the news every day. I'm not telling you anything new. Somebody might say, as they look down their glasses, Brother Perry ought not speak those things in the pulpit. Listen, get wise. We better speak about them in the pulpit because they're on television every day. And our children are watching the television and they're up to date on this news. There's nothing strange or nothing new. Young people, let me tell you, vice. Oh, be careful. God give you the wisdom, give you the strength. Keep your body for the glory of God and keep your body in the way that God would have you keep it so that one of these days you will be so glad as you look back. You know, I was thinking the other night when Brother Joe said, and he was right because it was scriptural, and Jesus said it, which makes it even more scriptural. He said that the woman that came to him and washed his feet. Remember, he said, he that is forgiven the most or is will love the most. Remember that? And you've read that scripture, haven't you? I went home and I started to think. And maybe I mentioned it Tuesday night. I'm not sure. But, you know, I started to think. I said, but, you know, the child has a lot to be thankful for, too. The child never gave in to the flesh. The child never developed venereal disease as a teenager. The good child that went to Sunday school, the good child never went to prison, the good child never messed up, the good child this and the good child that. So, you know, in a sense, even though you will not plunge into sin, never became a drunkard, never became a dope addict, and so the child has been saved from so much when you keep yourself pure before God. So you've got a lot to be thankful for as well. You see? And you will love him for what he has preserved you from rather than what he's preserved you out of and through. A lot of damage is done to people who live hardcore lives and live it up. We could really tell you story after story. Larry Price is coming here, I believe. Am I right? Very shortly. If not, maybe tomorrow. And if we could only get Brother Larry to give his testimony one night. You know how many times Brother Larry's been in prison? It's a tremendous testimony. But all he would tell you, if he could have only been spared those dreadful years they were. Let me tell you, young people, when you give in to the sins of the flesh, you pay a price. No matter who you are, no matter what you're involved in, you pay a price. But God will forgive, and God will turn your life around, and you can be restored, and God is gracious, and he lifts you up and takes all of your sins and puts them behind his back. But the point I want to make tonight is, in all of the graciousness of God and the goodness of God, God is not going to take away the marks or the scars or the damage that sin does. I want to repeat that. You will be forgiven. He will embrace you. He never loves you less. Listen, I want to get this across. Young people, if you get away from the Lord, if you slip into sin, if you give in, if you get away from him, God never loves you less for their disobedience or going or plunging into sin or under sin. Do you understand that? God always loves you. His standard of love is the same. He hates what we do, but he loves us very dearly. He never loves us less, no matter how far we go. But he knows in his wisdom, we're the ones who are going to pay a heavy price. The marks of sin remain, and we suffer for it down here. You suffer. If you jump off a 5-story building, you think you're going to float in the air? What's going to happen? You come, what, tumbling down because you defied the law of gravity. When you defied moral law, you incur, or many sad things will happen to your body. And so many laws we break, we pay a price for it, you see? Oh, my. So much can be said about this. But we got to go on. Look at number three item, okay? The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. I liken to this as a picture of venture. You want to achieve something in life, right? A seagoing man, it's an adventurous life. Ship going out from port, sailing with its crew. Destiny, known, of course. They know where they're going. But when they're returning, they're not too sure. You know, that's the adventure of a ship, or if you work on a ship, that is the venture. That ship is venturing out into the sea. You're going to find storms. You're going to find things you never expected. You'll even find things on the Yellow Bank. My good friend Edmund is here. I'm not trying to be funny, but it's very painful. I tell you, I prayed for him very much. He knows what I'm talking about. It happens to everybody. You never know. In your voyage of venture, you will encounter some things. Young people, you may encounter a crisis in your life. You're like a ship. But at least on your ship, you must have a course to follow. God help anybody who has a ship and have no course and no compass. It would be treacherous. And I admire our men. I tell you how they make it out there through the night, the sandboards, and I've been down in those areas. And every now and then you're more or less listening for sounds. You got a course, all right. But it's a very unnerving experience. Our men are good at sea, but they've got a course. And they have watchers, that is, men on watch, around the clock. They got to stay there with a compass. They can't afford to go to sleep. As I mentioned a long time ago, and I don't have time to give it to you again because my time is running out. But a man, what are you supposed to do when you give a man what we call, when he is turned to take the watch, his watch, the man at the wheel is to say 240 or whatever the course is. And he is supposed to say, gets out of his bunk, he is supposed to say 240. Now, how many of them do it, I don't know. That is so the man at the wheel will know that he's not asleep and he's awake. And he takes the wheel and he's got the readings properly, 240. I'm using just a number, of course, at random. And he stares by that course. Young people, according to the Word of God, it's the same way. We have the Word to be the compass. It is to guide you through life. You know, I'm amazed. Young people, I read this book, and some things I say, Lord, I don't want to talk about that. I could skip that. And they said, no, you can't skip it. You got to preach it. Yeah, but the young people can get mad with you. And he said, you got to tell them. So I'm going to tell you something in love tonight. And when you go home, I want you to blame God. I want you to say, God, I'm going to do what I want. I don't care what you say about your word or in your word. Okay? Now, yesterday morning in Leviticus 19 and 18, it says, thou shalt not make any cuttings in thy flesh, neither shalt thou put any tattoo on thy body. Oh, Brother Barry, you ruined yourself tonight. You might as well come down. I told you, go home and blame God, okay? If you blame Frank Perry, Brother Morris, Brother Roddy, and others here, you'll be my witness. Brother Edmund, you're my witness. The Bible says thou shalt not put any cuttings in your flesh, neither should you have any tattoo on your body. You got an argument? Argue with the Lord. Now, I'm not mentioning that to be rude or unkind. What I'm trying to get across is this. Be guided by the Word. You see, I can't preach too heavy about you with your tattoo if you got any, and I don't want to know. I don't want people to tell me what they've got and who's got it. I don't want to know none of that. You see, I got my problems too. I drink too much coffee. Caffeine is not good for you. But I cut down. I only drink about 5 cups a day now. I used to drink about 15. Our Lord's really giving me strength and help. There, you see? Laverne is shaking her head. She knows what I'm saying is right. So I have my problems, but they're minor problems, you know. You can overcome those things. And the thing is, we got other problems, too. I have to watch it every day in my home that I will not be impatient with my wife. And sometimes I am. You see? And I have to tell her, sorry, honey, I didn't mean that. You know, as you get our age, both of us are speaking in tongues anyhow, because both of us are deaf, and we're always saying, huh? What was that? You know, none of us seem to know what we're talking about. So we're really having a great time in our home, believe me. But I find myself saying so often, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So you see, I got my problems too, but then the Word tells us that if you don't treat your wife right, you can't answer, your prayers will not be answered. So as a preacher, I got to be very careful how I handle my wife. Are you reading me? You see, the preacher has an awesome responsibility, and he's got to be up in, he's got to tell you what the Word says. The Word, he's got to give you everything the book says and to guide you, young people. But you find it for yourself, and you say, well, I've disobeyed him, Brother Frank, I've disobeyed him, but he loves you. He's not going to beat you with a 2x4. But just try to obey the Lord and obey His Word. As a ship out at sea, ask for guidance. Ask for help. And you want that help. There's a lot more I want to say about that. But I want you to just press on, like Brother Joe said, and the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, you be on course and be what God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do. And don't let anybody discourage you, all right? A young boy took singing lessons and the teacher sent him home and said, you will never be a singer. Go home, young man. You're only wasting my time and your mother's money. He went home crying. And he said, Mama, and the teacher said that I'll never be a singer. And he was crying. And the mother looked at him and said, son, you are going to be the greatest singer the world has ever known. That young man went to another teacher, taught him, and he sang and he practiced and he practiced. And he became the great Caruso. Young people, maybe you just read about him or heard about him. But Caruso was the greatest tenor voice that ever came out of Italy. A famous singer, one of the greatest the world has ever known. And one day, that teacher said, you will never be a singer. You will be what God wants you to be. Determine in your heart that you're going to be that. And know what you're going to do and know what you want in life. And God will help you. In that area, a young boy got burned. He was a runner, short distant runner, and his legs were burned terribly. And the doctor told his mother and told him, you will never run again, son. And every day he used to pull himself across the fence to walk. And he looked like sometimes he would never be able to walk 50 feet. He kept it up every day, And then he walked without holding on to the fence. And then he found himself jogging. And it wasn't long until he was running. And Glenn Cunningham ran in the Olympic race again and won and got his medal. Because they said he'll never run again. But Glenn Cunningham ran and he won. Young people, you can run and you can win. If the devil wants to defeat you or discourage you and say you can't make it, you tell the devil on the authority of the Word of God, I can make it and I will make it. You got to the last point yet? Okay, give me a couple of minutes, all right? This is the one I wish I didn't have to deal with. The way of a man with a maid. Young man, let me tell you something. Don't you ever do to a girl what you do not want another man do to your sister. Let me repeat that. Young man, don't you ever do to another mother's daughter what you do not want another man do to your sister. The way of a man with a maid. God has provided two things in life for the enjoyment of mankind. Appetite, so that when you eat, you will enjoy. Sex is the same thing. But let me tell you, if you go against the Word of God, it can be bitter and it could be sad and it could bring you a lot of hurtful things in the world. Let me tell you something. There's young men who like to play the field And I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. I know wherever we travel, it's the same thing. They want to go like a bee from flower to flower. They want to live it up. And then, listen, when they want to get married, they go to Sunday school and they want to pick a young girl from the Sunday school that's never been out with a boy. I have seen that so many times that it really makes me sick to my stomach. They don't want those old other, you know, they don't want them. They want somebody pure. So girls, keep yourself pure, because you're always going to be top of the list and be wanted. God bless you, young man. I know that might be a little strong for you to digest tonight, but I say it in love and on the authority of the Word of God. Handle your maid with grace and with care. The maid simply is a little girl or your girl. Handle her with love and utmost respect. All right? John Hagee says, if he tries anything, either you have my permission, and that just came to me, by the way. He said, if he tries anything on you, when you're going with him, he says, you have my permission. Just haul off and give him the biggest slap in the face he's ever had in his life. He says, and tell him, John Hagee told you to do it. Well, that's John Hagee. Way of a man with a maid. Oh, my. I want to tell you something again, and I'll close with this, I promise. If you give in when you do marry, your husband will always wonder whether you're weak because you fell with him in the premarital state. You fell with him. Who is to say that she's not going to fall again for somebody else? That's how serious it is to keep your purity intact. It builds up distrust and suspicion. Not in every case, I know that. But basically speaking, generally speaking, that is true. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We realize that it is strong meat, but it is your word of God, and it must be said and it must be preached. And yet we are so grateful that when the marriage bed was instituted by you, you said it was not defiled and it can be a beautiful thing for the best of mankind. You said it was not good for man to be alone. But then when you gave Eve to him, you said it was good. And we realize that all the things you've given are good as long as we keep to the Word of God, as long as we're guided by the Word of God, as long as we seek to live by the truth of your precious word. We confess, Father, at times that we've failed you in it. And maybe our young people, maybe there are some young people here who know about failure. We all know about failure. We've failed. We've veered off the path down through the years when we were young. We fail. We know what it is. We've been there, Father. And we only ask that our young people will understand that we're speaking from experience. And we just pray that you'll be with them, that you will deliver them from hurtful things in the future, and that you'll guide them and so bless them as only you can. Thank you for our young people here tonight. We bless you for them. And, oh God, we're so overwhelmed with joy when we see them at a meeting like this. And it encourages us to see them, to listen to them as they answer the questions of the quiz and as they sing the selection. And even just being here in church, we thank you for them. And it does our heart good to see them. Bless them, Lord, and give them all the encouragement they need today, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.